The Doug Flutie Jr. Foundation for Autism is proud to be the presenting sponsor of the Boston Marathon's Adaptive Program for Runners, creating opportunities for runners with autism and other disabilities to participate in the legendary Boston Marathon.
Hi, my name is Eric Fishman, and I'm running as a member of the Adaptive Program for Runners in this year's Boston Marathon. Thanks to the Flutie Foundation, runners like me can achieve their dreams and finish the greatest race in the world.
Woo! The Flutie Foundation promotes inclusion for all to help everyone achieve their running dreams in Boston and beyond. Visit FlutieFoundation.org to get involved.
B-Pod Studios.
This is important.
Visit the store at 98.5thesportshub.com to purchase your Sports Hub gear.
Special designer
Toucher and Rich, Zoe and Bertrand, Felger and Mass, and Adam Jones shirts. Plus limited edition 10th anniversary wear in the Sports Hub store at 98.5thesportshub.com. You're listening to Gasper and Murray.
Fantastic chemistry.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Gasper and Murray, 98.5, the Sports Hub. There's still a little bit of actual sports to talk about. As the NFL continues to plow along like nothing's happening, which I can appreciate as they release the NFL schedule this past Thursday night, which I'm all for. You know, you want to keep sticking your head in the sand and be like, la, 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 nope, no, business as usual, nope, we're moving along. I'm all for that. I said it yesterday on Felger and Maz. I'm at the point where just lie to me. Just lie to me. I don't want to hear like, well, we might not be able to have fans in 2021. Go F yourselves. Lie to me. Don't let me know how bad it is because I've had it. I've had it. So the schedule comes out, and I will say, like, while I think it's a bear, we knew that it was going to be tough anyway, but the way it was slotted, we opened up talking about this, talked to yesterday, Felger and Maz, but I just think, like, ooh, you look at it, like, ah, God, oh, ah, oh, three straight road games, L.A., Miami, ah, 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 the bye so early, ah, in Seattle week two, ah, so mostly, like, it looks rough. I will say, I was surprised, Chris, that they got five primetime games. They're still the Patriots, albeit without Tom Brady. I figured three, because they're still a marquee team. They're one of the marquee teams in the league, even without the greatest quarterback of all time. Five? I was like, ooh, wow, all right. I thought that was actually good in regard to how the league and how the national, you know, the national narrative is no, they are still relevant. We still want to put them on. They're still a draw. They might not have Brady, but Belichick is still a draw, and they're going to be a competitive product. So I thought that was a positive from a national standpoint, but you think that there's outs there, and it's It may not be, actually, five primetime games that they end up playing.
Yeah, look, I think that the NFL's done a smart thing here. They have insulated themselves so that if the Patriots are not that good, then they won't be on five times. And if the Patriots are good, they'll still get the requisite exposure. And just look at how they stack these primetime games. So week two against Seattle. Week two is so early in the season, you don't know what any team's going to be. Those two teams have history, so it would be compelling no matter what. No one's going to tune out in week two, right?
Mm-hmm.
The Monday night games that they have, those are divisional games. So there's like a built-in import there. And also Monday night, let's be honest, out of all the primetime packages is probably the least important. And two of their and two of their primetime games are on Monday nights. They have the November 9th one with the Jets on the road, and then the one late in the year, the 28th at home against the Bills. You can catch both of those games on Channel 5, by the way. So they've sort of built that in. Those are primetime games. They're important games, but they're games with built-in import because they're divisional games. You get to that November 15th game, the Sunday nighter against Baltimore. That's flex time. If the Patriots aren't any good, they'll flex right out of that game. And then Thursday night, every team has to play on a Thursday. The exception this year, Minnesota and the Saints are playing a game on Christmas Day, which actually falls on a Friday. So those teams are not playing on Thursday, but it's basically the same thing. So people are like, oh, there's another primetime game for the Patriots. Like, the Jaguars have a Thursday night game. Like, everybody gets a Thursday game.
So that one doesn't really
count. One doesn't really count. So you throw that one out. You could throw Baltimore out if they're not good. What do you really have? Two Monday night division games with built-in import and a Sunday night game in week two when everybody will be interested no matter what. It wouldn't matter who the teams were. They protected themselves. On paper, it looks like we still respect the Patriots, and if the Patriots are still good, they can say, well, we saw it coming. We wanted to make sure Bill Belichick and the Patriots got the requisite primetime exposure. If the Patriots aren't that good, they can back out of that Baltimore game and they say, yeah, you know, they were on primetime, but, you know, not like in the past.
Interesting. Okay.
Yes. I didn't think they about stacked that. The deck. I think they did a really good job of putting themselves in a position where they're insulated either way.
The other thing, too, and I hadn't thought about it because, you know, you look at what a bear the schedule is and how it's slotted, you know, in that first 4 weeks, you have at Seattle week two and at Kansas City week four. And Mike brought it up yesterday. You know, if the NFL does seemingly, they're plowing along here. Because, again, going into the night that the schedule was released, there were stories floating around there that all the non-conference games were going to be scheduled up front so that they can tank those if they have to whack the first 4 weeks of the season. Well, that was apparent quickly. Like, nope, that's not true. They're just, and when you saw some of these divisional games, interdivisional games being slotted early, like week one, Patriots, Dolphins, it's like, oh, no, they're just operating business as usual. But that being said, if they do operate business as usual, but there's no fans, well, those games in Seattle and Kansas City, which are two of the most notoriously difficult places to play in the NFL, now it's kind of moot. Like,
that's a good point, yeah.
Still, you got to travel to go to Seattle and Kansas City, but those places without fans, well, those games aren't as difficult as they previously looked. I mean, granted, those are two of the best quarterbacks, if not the best quarterbacks in the league right now, so it'll be tough, but they're not as tough without 70,000 people screaming, you know, like it's fighter jets, you know, like having
fighter jets. Oh, I love those fighter jets.
Oh, right. Yeah. Ooh, look at the sky dogs.
Did you see the flyover? I know you're psyched for it.
Oh, yeah. Look at the sky dogs do the loop-de-loops. Yay.
What do you like better? Do you like, you're an F-15 guy, an F-16 guy, F-18, F-22?
All the same.
that's not true.
But do you look at those two now and say, like, all right, they're going to go along business as usual, but no fans. Are those games, they're not as tough, right? Like, at Seattle, at Kansas City?
Yeah, I want to answer your question, Jim, but the only thing running through my mind right now is F-35 Joint Strike Fighter.
I don't know what that is. It's probably loud, annoying, and expensive.
But to answer your question, yes. I do think it makes those games easier. And I however, think there are going to be fans in the stands. Not 70,000 of them, but did you see the Miami Dolphins? You know, they their president was on Good Morning America, and they revealed some sketches of how they think social distancing can go and the idea of having about 15,000 fans in the stadium. Again, obviously, that's not 70,000. So I still think there'll be some fans there. And those are tough places to play, not just because of the fans. You know, it's also because of the teams, the coaches, and all that. So, yeah. A break for the Patriots, maybe later in the year, there are 40,000, 50,000 fans in the stands. Who knows? But I still think that those are difficult games for them. I look at both those games and those are losses.
Yeah. I know. I do, too. I'm just trying. I thought it was like, oh, well, that's kind of a positive looking at it that way. If there's no
and
fans,
also, I'm, on my scheduling point, I think the league stacked those games early because it's still the Patriots. Capital P with the legacy that comes along with that and Bill Belichick and the whole deal. It's the Patriots versus the defending Super Bowl champions. It's the Patriots versus the Seattle Seahawks. These teams have great history because 4 weeks into the season, you're not going to write any team off.
Oh, yeah.
If those games are in week 13 or week 15 and Hoyer's not that good or Stidham stinks, then it's like, oh, who wants to watch this crappy team against these good teams, Kansas City and Seattle? I think they purposely stacked those early too.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah. Yeah, regardless, fans or not, no, those are losses because of Russell Wilson and Patrick Mahomes. And the thing with Good Morning America, did the president of, was it Stephen Ross or was it someone else?
No, I think this guy's name is Garfinkel. I can look it up.
Okay, so did he explain how they would select those, say, 15,000 fans? Is it longtime season ticket holders? Would they have a lottery? I wonder.
That's a good question. I don't recall that he did.
Okay. Yeah, because if they're going to do anything like that, especially with college football, like who's going to get it? The biggest boosters of the school, you know?
Oh, I would hope so.
I get to go to my Florida State games, Daddy. Thanks for contributing all these years, even though I didn't get to go.
Maybe we'll get a flyover at the game. That'd be even better.
All right, your thoughts on the Patriots schedule, Jared Stidham, anything we've discussed thus far. We'll go to Howard in Amesbury. You're next here on Gaspar Murray. Hello, Howard.
Hey, Murray, how you doing? Hey, Gaspar. I've never been on a call where I've talked to you, Gaspar, before. But, you know, you guys make some good points. I got two things I want to say about the reason why the Patriots have five primetime games. It's like when Howard Stern was on, people didn't necessarily like them, but they wanted to hear what he had to say. People don't necessarily like the Patriots, but they want to see him lose. And I'm not one of those. And Maz called me a Patriots bobo yesterday because I agreed with Felger. And I'm going to tell you why they could win the Seattle game. Because Seattle has, as much as people don't think the Falcons are anything, they still got to go out there and the Falcons are going to still be a decent team. Then they got to come back and play the Patriots. But the third game of the year is against the Cowboys. And let me tell you, that early in the season, if they're not, they might be looking past the Patriots to a big game with Dallas. I don't put anything past Belichick the way he's designed his draft picks to play, his defensive draft picks to play the edge and to stop running quarterbacks. I think the Patriots could also sweep the two L.A. games, the Chargers and the Rams. So I think they're going to be 11-5, and that's what I say. But, you know, who knows?
I got you, Howard. I appreciate the positivity.
It's possible.
I might be looking at that L.A. thing, you know, just because it's like, oh, that's a tough road trip. They'll be away. But those teams aren't great. And if it's Tyrod Taylor that's starting, or maybe it's Herbert, who they drafted out of Oregon, that's a quarterback, like outside of their defense, I don't know. Like the Chargers, they feel like an also-ran to me. So I think they could win one of those two. I don't know about both.
Yeah, this is going to sound weird given the way the Super Bowl went, but I actually think the Rams game is the tougher game because for the Rams, like that game is going to be Super Bowl 53.5. They're going to give it everything they got. They're going to have Cooper Kupp this time, you'd think, unless he gets hurt again, but they didn't in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And so when you look at that, I just think they're really going to be up for that game. So I think that will be a challenging game. Now, we don't know how good the Patriots are going to be at this point in the year. If Stidham's a really good quarterback, then it won't really matter. But I just think you're going to get the Rams' best shot. And how much McVay's talked about that Super Bowl and what he learned and how much he studied it, I just don't think you're going to be able to roll out the same game plan and hold them down.
But Seattle week two? No, that's a loss. And get it through your head.
The thing with Seattle,
the Falcons stink.
The thing with Seattle, and this is the most interesting thing to me about the Patriots going into this season. Down the stretch last year, they had a hard time stopping the run. And so you look at a team like Seattle, as good as Russell Wilson is, they want to run the ball down your throat, and they're a big physical team. And so will the Patriots be able to stop a rushing attack like that? Like, that's the most interesting thing to me about that Seattle game, because I think Seattle's going to come out and try and absolutely stomp them on the ground. And will they be able to stand up to it? And especially now that, like, Danny Shelton's not here. And you've replaced him with Bo Allen. You know, will you be better against the run than you were down the stretch last year?
John in Florida with a thought on Jared Stidham. Hi, John.
Hi, guys. Great show. Thank you for all your work on the show. You know, the more I think about the quarter dynamics between Brian Hoyer and Jared Stidham, myself as a season ticket holder, maybe you guys can answer this, because living in Florida, I don't have the opportunity to watch the preseason, so I haven't seen much of Stidham. But week one of the NFL season, if Brian Hoyer is the starting quarterback, I see it as a big failure, and I'll be incredibly disappointed. Because I look at it this way, I feel like the Patriots could have had their cake and eaten it too. And what I mean by that is if Stidham is not the starter on week one, it shows me that they made a big mistake and they weren't prepared at the quarterback position. And they could have re-signed Brady. And by re-signing Brady, it gives us stability over a couple of years to develop the quarterback position and also still be a Super Bowl contender. What are your thoughts?
Well, John, on the first thing, if you weren't able to watch some of the preseason games, I thought the kid looked pretty good at times. And he had a rapport building with Jacoby Myers.
He throws a nice ball.
Yeah, so I thought that there were some encouraging signs there. But it being preseason football, you got to take everything with a grain of salt. I also am with you, John, and that if it's not Stidham week one, I think that's a massive failure. I don't think that you coddle him. You either believe in him or you don't. And I know that, you know, based on some of the reporting, that they feel like maybe he's a year away. But I'm sorry. And especially if he has a good camp, if they're able to practice, even if it's a weird, you know, different kind of practice because of the world we're now living in. If he looks better than Hoyer, you have to start Stidham week one. You can't coddle the kid. You can't.
No, I'm with you. I mean, this is sort of what I was saying before. So it seems like the message they're sending with their offseason is that he's ready, right? And so if he's ready, he should start from the rip. If he's not ready, that's okay. But that means you need to go out and get a legitimate bridge quarterback to fill the gap. It has to be better than Brian Hoyer.
Yeah.
So which one is it? Is he ready or is he not ready? And you can't say that you've done the right thing either way. The way they've approached this offseason, it says, we think he's ready. If all of a sudden you think he's not and you want to baby him and you want to coddle him like you said, well, then you missed out. You should have brought in another quarterback. And look, maybe Bill looks at it and says, hey, Cam Newton's twisting in the wind. I can just grab him whenever I need him. Maybe that's the variable that we're missing here. You know, maybe Bill's not closed off to Cam Newton. He just is saying, let me see what I got, and if I need him, this guy will still be out there. But I think that's a little risky, to be honest. I mean, I think Newton, like, the next job he's offered, he's probably going to have to jump at. Do you see Mike Glennon signed in Jacksonville?
Yes, yeah.
I mean, even backup spots, how many places are there for him?
No, it looks like there's nothing. And this is where he went from almost defiance of, like, hey, I'm going to be a starter, I'm only going to be a starter, to pretty quickly saying, like, I need work. I'll go anywhere.
Yeah.
Please. You know, I've been there, Cam, and I'm sure I'll be there again. I understand. I am going to be a full-time host in the afternoons. Crickets. I'll work anywhere. What do you need to do? Yeah, sure. I'll take whatever terrible job. Give me a bad co-host. Fine. I need work.
You'll work, damn it. You'll work with the host of the Fellas.
Well. Yeah, no, I'm a sellout. I probably would have
yes,
to do
you
that
would. You would do it. You would do it. Things got dire enough.
Big Jim! Have you watched Westworld? No, man. Wow! Anything for a paycheck. I get it. You know,
are you kidding me? You would play right along with him for the paycheck. You'd be right in there.
Big Jim and Anthony Gargano. Oh, God, imagine that. Oh, if that's what it came to, Chris. Oh, Jesus. And it probably would, too. As each day gets worse than the next, each hour worse than the last. Sorry, Jim, we got to let you go. We don't have the job for you anymore on Felger and Maz. Gasper and Murray, kaput. It's over. You're out on your ass. But we do have an opportunity for you in Philly to work with Anthony Gargano. And it's for $20,000. All right, man, sure, I'll take that job. Wow! You're my new co-host. Why do they call you Big? Wow! Imagine that's what it came to. Oh, Jesus. All right, one open line if you want to join us. It's 617-779-0985. My biggest takeaway from the Patriots schedule, I'll get to that coming up next here on The Dudes with Gasper and Murray, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Gasper and Murray, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Gasper Murray, 98.5, The Sports Hub. So here was my biggest takeaway from the Patriots schedule and when it came out on Thursday night. I think the biggest game for them is right out of the gate, week one at home against Miami. And if you look at this, so it's going to be Jared Stidham as the starter, which I believe it is. Brian Flores has already shown to the rest of the NFL and his organization, I can beat these guys on their home turf. He did that and screwed up the whole plan week 17 last year. So he can go to New England and get a win. And this time, it's not Tom Brady they're facing. And Brady wasn't great in that game, fine, but it's still Tom Brady. It's the Dolphins coming up here, and I think it's going to be Ryan Fitzpatrick. Outside chance it's going to be Tua, regardless. Miami comes in here. They're going to be feeling confident. They feel like they're doing it again. They're not going up against Tom Brady. It's going to be Jared Stidham, or worst-case scenario, Brian Hoyer. Patriots lose this game, Chris. They're likely going to be 1-3 after week four. Because, again, you get at Seattle, at Kansas City, and the Patriots will be off to, if that were to happen, they're 1-3 after 4 weeks. Well, it's the worst start to a season since 2001 where they're 1-3. They won the Super Bowl in 2001. All right, stop it. They had Brady then and a better defense. That would be bad. So I think looking at it, just for me, the most important game on the schedule, it's week one against the Miami Dolphins. It's a must win.
Yeah, that's a really great take, Jim. I hadn't thought of it that way. That game, I think, will be tough. They'll have the extra time to prepare, but so will the Dolphins and that coaching staff. And Ryan Fitzpatrick came here and beat you last year. Also, the Dolphins loaded up this offseason. Mm. They bring in Byron Jones. They brought in Kyle Van Noy. They upgraded their defense.
Right, some institutional knowledge there, too, just even outside of Brian Flores.
Yeah, they did. So that one's interesting to me. Like, I think that could be a challenging game. The other thing, you know, when we look at the schedule – from the New England standpoint, and you see the Miami game, and you're like, oh, it's in December. You're like, oh, that's good. Don't you think Miami looks at this and says September 13th, New England, great.
Right. Oh, yeah, yeah.
It's not going to be 30 degrees.
Yeah, typically, they're coming here freezing their asses off. ready to pack it in as soon as they get off the bus.
Yeah, that's not going to be an issue. So, you know, that's not going to work in your favor. That is an important game. Normally, I don't put much stock in the opener. I mean, it's just, you know, 1 of 16. But yeah, you're right.
Charlie in Plymouth on the Patriots schedule. Hello, Charlie.
Hey, good morning, man. Yeah, I'll tell you, the schedule is really irrelevant. You're going to see something like when Steve Young played for the Los Angeles Express in the USFL in a coliseum that seated over 93,000 people. About 10,000 fans showed up. So the economic impact in the NFL will be huge. A loss of revenue with general admission and your club seats, your suites, your parking, your concessions, and your advertisers. Expect a huge economic hit.
Oh, if we haven't already felt it before. Yeah, no, it's just going to get worse, Charlie. Oh, I know. Yeah, no, now these teams are going to start feeling it if they're not already. Same with these leagues. Oh, yeah, no, it's a bright future ahead of us. Everything's so great. Frank the Tank, it's been a minute. How are you holding up during this hell pandemic, Frank?
Well, I mean, I don't believe in suicide, but it's crossed my mind a few times during this whole thing. I miss hockey. I miss baseball. I miss basketball even. I miss seeing people compete on television. I really do miss it. It just sucks. It really sucks. It forces you to talk to people in your own house that you don't want to talk to. So, I mean, you know, I don't know. I mean, obviously I don't want to see anybody get hurt or get sick or whatever, but at this point I'm all for thinning the herd so that I can watch some hockey playoffs. Look, my point, you know, I understand, like, all right, we're not going to have Tom Brady. Well, you know, eventually we all knew we weren't going to have him. So in my mind, I don't want to see Jared Hoyer touch the field, not even once, unless it's just mop-up duty. I want to see Stidham get the ball, and I want to see, you know, Bill's coaching, and I want to see if, you know, what the kid can do. And that's basically it. Hoyer, yeah, fine. He's here to be the backup. And that's what he ultimately should be, and that's it. I want to see Hoyer with the ball. So that, you know, I'm prepared to see the Patriots go 0-16, 11-5, 10-6, 9-7, because I remember when the Patriots sucked. I'm a real fan. So I just want to see improvement during the season, and that's, you know, I think that's what we should all be hoping for. And one last thing, I was wondering if you guys mind if I plug a podcast.
No, go right ahead.
All right. I got a buddy of mine up here in Tewksbury. His name's Anthony DeMarco. He's got a podcast, Smarten Up Sundays. So go give him a listen. I've, you know, had the pleasure of sitting down with him. You know, maybe I'll be on there again with him a few times. So give him a listen, folks. He's a wild and crazy kid. Thanks a lot, guys.
Thanks, Frank.
Good to hear from you, Frank.
Stay safe and living. You know, I get you too. I've had some pretty dark thoughts, but if you're actually like anyone actually contemplating this, I was telling you off the air,
yeah.
Chris, I got an email from a dude I'd met before a couple of times, a big fan of the Sports Hub, really good dude, lives out of the market, who writes that he's like having like suicidal thoughts. It's like, oh, Jesus, you know, like I'm certainly not qualified to answer this correctly. And I too have found myself at the bottom of a bottle time and time again over the last couple of months. So what can I do other than give the National Suicide Prevention Hotline, 800-273-8255? And I just was like, hey, man, like, do me a favor, call. Like, if you're a fan and appreciate that, like, do me a favor, call. And, you know, I've since heard back, and thankfully he said he's, like, you know, made the
call.
That's good. So good. But, yeah, no, I get it. Bleak, bleak, bleak times. So go listen to that podcast. Maybe you'll get some brightness out of that and a cheap laugh, because that's all we can ask for right now, a cheap laugh. That's all I'm looking for right now, Chris. Cheap laughs, good times, the occasional decent meal. That's all I can get out of life right now. And hopefully we get out of this hell sooner than later. Hoyer, more than anything else, and this is the thing about Dalton, too. I just feel like that's bad for business. I also think that they have to – I don't think that the organization from a from an ownership standpoint like meddles the way that they used to during the Parcells era, but – I think they'd be, they would be well within their rights to go to Bill Belichick and say, like, hey, Brian Hoyer's bad for business. You have to start the kid. There's more unknown. There's more upside with Jarrett Stidham. Yeah. You can't put Brian Hoyer on the field. It's bad for business. I think it's one of the reasons they weren't really interested in Andy Dalton. Fans would be right to be like, no, I turn my nose up at this. I'm not watching this because I'm not watching a bum like that. No, 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 no. I'm better off with the unknown, even if the unknown ends up sucking, in Jarrett Stidham. It's one of the reasons that I think that they should start him week one.
That's an interesting point. I hadn't thought of it that way. I think if we learned anything, you know, the last time that there was, and again, the expression that comes out of there, you know, they're adamant that there was no meddling with the Jimmy Garoppolo thing, but the perception has become reality that there was some meddling there. And so let's deal with the perception. If that's the perception and everybody deals with it that way, we all look at that and say, well, they don't want to do that again or Belichick's out of here. So I don't think that they can intervene when it comes. They've made their choice, and it's Bill Belichick.
Yeah.
And much the same way maybe Brady felt like he sort of had carte blanche after they traded Garoppolo, and all of a sudden it was like, yeah, you know, those OTAs, you don't want to give me a contract? Ah, I guess spend time with my family. Well, now it's like with Brady gone, if ownership tries to intercede with Belichick, don't you think he looks around and says, you sure you want to do that? I'm all you got.
Yeah, yeah.
You want? Oh, well, you think Josh can coach this team? Okay, yeah, that sounds good.
Yeah, he's kind
so
of
no got, Brady and no Belichick. Best of luck to you, sir.
He's kind of got them over a barrel.
He does. It's his team. Yeah. I'm the captain now, says Belichick.
Look at me. Look at me. Look at me. I'm the captain now. I'm the captain now. One open line if you'd like to join us. You know, I just mentioned Bill Parcells. Fans had an opportunity to vote him in to the Patriots Hall of Fame yesterday. I do believe now the voting is closed. It was him, Mike Vrabel, or Richard Seymour. I think he should have voted for Bill Parcells. I voted for Bill Parcells. I'll make another case for that next, along with your phone calls here on Gasper and Murray.
Gasper and Murray. Gasper and Murray. Gasper and Murray. Gasper and Murray. On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Gasper Murray, 98.5, Sports Hub. You know, I should have said something at the time, Chris, before I get to my thought on Bill Parcells, who I hope many Patriots fans voted for to go into the Patriots Hall of Fame yesterday. The voting's now closed. A friend immediately messaged me about this. I should have caught it at the time. You know, you said carte blanche, which I was surprised you didn't say carte blanche, which is very un-Gasper of you. You said it as if it was like the cooking technique rather than carte blanche.
Yes,
like
you're right.
Sounding very French. Like, have you met my son, Henri? The son that doesn't exist, but if he were to have a son, it's not, hey, nice to meet you, Henry. No, it's Henri.
Henri.
Yeah.
Laurent.
And he gets carte blanche.
Carte blanche.
At the Gasper house. So, I should have caught myself at the time.
Yeah,
carte blanche. Yeah.
You
sound trashy like me, Chris.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I try. I'm a man of the people.
Yeah.
Except for when it comes to, you know, child's names. Thierry, Henri, Aiden, Laurent.
Aiden. Oh, Aiden. Yeah. Hey, Aiden. Nice to meet you. No, it's Aiden.
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 Bill Parcells should be in the Patriots Hall of Fame. He is an NFL Hall of Famer. You people, much like anyone that's mad at Brady for leaving, and I still get chirped at this, why are you buying Brady Tampa Bay Bucs gear? Because I'm still rooting for Brady. You can do both. You can root for the Patriots. You can root for Tom Brady. Two things can exist at the same time, you idiots. So if you're still holding a grudge against him, Ray Allen, and Bill Parcells, I think you're a baby. Your diaper is full. You're a big, stupid baby. Oh, when he went to the Jets. And oh, when it was handled poorly during that Super Bowl week in 96. Like, I was mad about it at the time. Oh, when he didn't like the meddling owner overstepping his bounds. You had your opportunity to vote yesterday. The voting's closed. Is he going to get in? Probably not. I've accepted that because you're all petty morons who won't allow it to happen. But he should be in. Again, I will hit you, any of you, over the head with facts time and 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 time again. Not just because he's in the NFL Hall of Fame, but he is responsible for drafting a good portion of the players who ended up becoming some of the biggest contributors to that first Super Bowl run. Troy Brown, McGinnis, Ty Law, Ted Johnson, Lawyer Malloy, Teddy Bruschi. I'll give you more, but I'll just give you those. Those were the core. Without him, this team's likely in St. Louis, or at the very least, irrelevant, still, in the laughing stock of the league. They're still the Browns, because you youngs that don't remember, they were that. They were that. They were that. Chris, you're old enough to remember as a member of Generation X.
Are you kidding me? As a Xennial, I bridge those people who don't remember and people like you who are older than me.
They were a laughing laughing stock. And at the very least, even if you're still mad about it, without Parcells, the ownership doesn't get to sniff the proverbial butt of Bill Belichick. Because Bill Belichick is under Bill Parcells as the defensive coordinator. So show the man respect. And he should have been voted in. I'm not going to be surprised if he went for Vrabel or Richard Seymour. Both also deserving, by the way. But if you're just spitefully not voting for Bill Parcells to be in the Patriots Hall of Fame, I just think you're bitter. You're a bitter, stupid baby. He should be in there.
Well, I said this to you off the air, and I'll say it on the air. Is there also an element of, look, you know, Parcells isn't getting any younger. Anyone who's spoken to him, and I spoke to him last summer for a piece I was doing on Ty Law, he's mellowed considerably. He's 78 years old. He'll turn 79 in August. Don't you want to see him get in while he's still alive? Doesn't he deserve that? I think that other than Brady and Belichick, he's the most influential figure in the history of the franchise.
Thank you. Yes, he's in that. There's three people that are responsible for why the Patriots are the Patriots and one of the model franchises in the NFL. Tom Brady, Bill Belichick, and Bill Parcells.
I'd say there's four. I think you have to throw Robert Kraft in there.
Fine. But in terms of just football ops or on the field, it's those three guys. It's those three guys. Period. End of story. That's it. And just in terms of the age and, you know, maybe a fear of an old man getting the bug and dying because, you know.
Yeah.
Certainly affecting those in that age range and seniors. Effing COVID. Yeah, sure. You know, that alone, you should vote for him. But for what he did and accomplished here, that's why he should be in the Patriots.
Well, he built the foundation that allowed Belichick and Brady to come in and then build this dynasty on top of that. And if Parcells doesn't lay the foundation, you don't end up with what you have. And to your point, you know, he's the one who brought Belichick to New England. And that's how Kraft got to know Belichick.
Yeah.
And that relationship, it doesn't happen without Parcells. It's like, you know, someone who introduces you to your wife or husband or significant other.
You're forever indebted.
Yeah, exactly. And the other thing when I look at Parcells is he was so great as a personnel guy. Now, he didn't get everything right. They were right to intercede and take Terry Glenn over. You know, he wanted Cedric Jones. Oh, God, out of Oklahoma. That guy sucked. But the backbone of that defense, the McGinnis, Bruschi, Ty Law, even the other side, who brought in Troy Brown?
Yeah.
Adam Vinatieri.
Right.
You don't win those Super Bowls without Vinatieri. Those are all Parcells guys. And Belichick was a Parcells guy. So I think you have to give him his due. I don't understand why people are still bitter at this point. I feel like the Crafts have buried the hatchet with Parcells. I don't understand why the fan base can't bury the hatchet with him.
They clearly have buried the hatchet. That he was even available to get voted for. Same with Mike Vrabel. Shows you, like,
yeah. Hey,
they're cool with it. You should be too. And I get, I'm Mr. Spite. I love spite. Spiting. I'm all for spite.
You are.
On a day-to-day basis. Spite this one. Spite that one. Spite. Spite, 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 spite.
As you would say, you're petty Rexpin.
Yeah. If I was an 80s talking bear, just lovable and won't shut the hell up, you got to take the batteries out of me. Petty Rexpin. That's me. F him. Screw him. I'm not doing it. I'm going to put onions in the ceiling. Screw them. They're not treating me right. Petty Rexpin. That's me. But certain things you got to get the hell over. And Brady being gone, they gave him the option. Bill Parcells, Ray Allen. You're just stupid babies if you're still holding on to that. Let's go to Bill and Draken on the Patriot schedule. Hey, Bill.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good. What's up?
Good, Bill.
Hey, so I got a question for you. I just hear the talk about how the Patriots are going to start out slow. But more or less, my point of view is I trust Belichick only because of the situation that happened with Matt Castle Much better. But I trust Belichick with the situation with Matt Castle where they went 11-5 with Brady, where they planned on the year going in with Brady. They planned their whole game plan based on Brady. And then they have Matt Castle. But what Belichick said about the quarterbacks and being unknown and how it carries an extra variability, to me at the beginning of the season is going to outweigh better, more beneficial for the Patriots than it would if there was tape of Stidham in the NFL and playing and how we saw all that stuff beforehand. And, you know, I think the Patriots just got tired of Tom getting old. Like they said last year, he didn't perform well, but he wasn't practicing a lot. And like Adrian Wilson said, you can't make the club from the tub, and I think that was kind of the decision going forward. He's getting old and getting on. All right, guys, take care.
Thanks, Bill. Yeah, and I was cool with that. You know, I was F the future, keep building around Brady, Tom over team, all that stuff. Until last year, Chris. Last year, 12-4, fake record. First couple of months, just a slog. The only entertaining win was the one in Buffalo, and Brady treated that the way it was a loss after they won the damn thing. So I just, after that, it's like, oh, this is joyless. And I think he's just over it. He's done with Bill. They got to go their separate ways. And I'm glad that they have. And I hope that it's Jared Stidham to start, and maybe they found the kid, you know, found the next guy.
Well, just the one thing I'll say quickly, just on the whole Castle thing, because, you know, I covered that season, and I'm trying to jog my memory in some regard to what happened. They did finish 11-5, and, you know, but they won their last four games, which was great. But Castle really progressed throughout that season. And by the time you got to the end of the season, he was, you know, pretty good. I know you're not a fan of his, but for example,
by the end of the year, I'll give you that. No, he was better than
he had the
he
four touchdown pass game against Oakland.
Yep.
So the end of the year, they beat Seattle, Oakland, Arizona, Buffalo. And that's how they get to 11-5. So he was a different quarterback at the end. I think what's interesting about this schedule is that some really tough opponents like Seattle and Kansas City are in the beginning of the season. And if you want to use that 2008 season as proof that Belichick can do it with another quarterback, I think that's a little tough because the Matt Castle they had at the beginning of that year was not the guy they had at the end. And so I wouldn't expect to just say, well, you know, you went 11-5 with Castle, so they'll just roll Stidham out there and beat the Kansas City Chiefs. Maybe they can beat the Kansas City Chiefs with the Stidham they have by the time January 3rd rolls around. But early in the season, that's going to be tough. I think people forget the progression that the progression that Castle had throughout the year. It wasn't like Bill snapped his fingers and all of a sudden Castle was a quarterback you could go 11-5 with.
Well, we'll go try to run through as many of your phone calls next as we get to our long commercial-free segment. Coming up at noon, we'll be joined by Chris Forsberg, NBC Sports Boston, to get his take on some of the news coming out of the NBA and how the league is trying to handle things going forward and you know, what Celtics players he's been in touch with, too. Obviously, part of the Ennis Cantor podcast, so we'll get the latest on that and some NBA stuff with him coming up at noon. Here on Gaspar Murray, 98.5 of Sports Hub.
Stay tuned for more Gaspar and Murray on 98.5 the Sports Hub.
So what, this is like 60 years old, and it still holds up. God, don't make me do math. So it's Little Richard playing it for a reason. He passed away today at 87. Not from the Rona, cancer. But worth playing and mentioning, because without Little Richard, you don't have rock and roll. And I know you're not the biggest music guy, Chris, but, you know, you can't be all sportsy sports all the time here, especially given the fact there aren't sports going on. So I wanted to mention it, because without Little Richard, you don't have rock and roll. Without Little Richard's androgynous look, which, again, given the time and some of the places that he was playing, again, think about that, the 50s, early 60s, and, like, and his look, without that and him being a pioneer of that kind of a look, like, and the fact that during, you know, earlier parts of his life, and I know he kind of came off of it later and said some horrible things, but, like, you know, he said he's both into men and women and the look and everything. Without that, you don't know, you know, that gives way to Mick and David Bowie and their androgynous looks. Like, he was just, like, he was a wild man. And he was able to obviously put out the kind of music that backed up, that if you thought he was kind of too freaky for you, whatever, you listen to the music. Like, you can't move to Little Richard's music. You don't have a soul. You don't have a pulse. So that's a big loss today at 87 years old. But he was the man. And read some of the stories about that guy. Ooh, what a freak's freak. And he used to give, apparently, as the story goes, he used to give poop as a gift, his very own. So,
wait,
so
what?
Goes the story. Yeah, he was a strange, strange sexual freak, that Little Richard. And boy, did he love him some PCP and coke. But that's a big loss for the music world today. Little Richard gone at 87. Yeah, wild, wild man.
Really?
Oh, yeah. He was a freak's freak.
Interesting. I didn't know that.
Talking about Bill Parcells being in the Patriots Hall of Fame. Patriots quarterback situation going into 2020 in the Patriots schedule. Try to run through these calls before we get to Chris Forsberg of NBC Sports Boston. Coming up at noon. George in Somerville on Jared Stidham. Hey, George.
Hey, guys. I had a question about Jarrett Stidham. In 2017 at Auburn, he had a great year and was considered a second-round prospect by a lot of scouts. Mm-hmm. He had a bad 2018, and he fell in the draft to the fourth round, obviously. Do you think that the Patriots know, like, internally that he's a second-round or possibly late first-round talent, and that's why they're confident in him going forward?
Chris.
And you think the national media doesn't like him necessarily or is not as confident because they look at him as a fourth-round pick? Thanks.
Yeah, I think that's maybe an oversimplification. Everybody always thought that Stidham had the arm talent, as Mike Mayock would say. I mean, he was highly recruited, was at Baylor, and then ended up transferring to Auburn. I think what ended up happening the last year he was at Auburn, his second year he played at Auburn, I think people were just disappointed and a little underwhelmed by his season when they decided to sort of put that team and that offense on him. People talk about the year before, and he was good, and he would have been a second-round guy. What they don't say is that he had Kerryon Johnson, who was arguably that year the best player in the SEC and ran for 1,300 yards. And they rode Kerryon Johnson hard that year. And so Kerryon Johnson was really the focal point of that offense. If you were a defense, you started with Kerryon Johnson. We need to shut him down. Then it changed. Kerryon Johnson was gone, and as Gus Malzahn has said, they did have two receivers get hurt the following year, and they weren't available for Stidham. But Stidham was now the focal point of the Auburn offense. Opposing teams said, we have to shut down Stidham, and it didn't go as well. His offensive line wasn't as good. He didn't have Kerryon Johnson. He didn't have the receivers. In a nutshell, he didn't make the team around him or the players around him better, and he got docked for that.
Chuck in Boston says here, Cam Newton. What do you want to say about Cam Newton?
From one Auburn quarterback to another.
Chuck from Chuck's Buckets.
Oh, hey, what's up, Chuck? Hey.
Just wanted to reach out. So why not? I mean, do the Pats know something health-wise with Newton? I mean, bring him in at least to light a fire under Stidham. I mean, Hoyer's always just been what a glorified backup, kind of Brady's like little guy there, not to push him. What do you guys think?
Yeah, again, this is what is interesting to me about the quarterback plan, Jim, because I don't think they really want to bring in. They want to be able to say, well, you know, Stidham might need a little more seasoning, so we're going to protect him. They want to say that on one hand, but on the other hand, they don't want to bring in anybody that will make Stidham actually look like he's not ready at some point this year to take over. Otherwise, you would bring it. I feel it's honestly a disservice to the team and that it goes against what Belichick says when he says, I do what's in the best interest of the team, to not bring in some sort of proven starter to compete with Stidham and Hoyer. I really feel that way. And the only reason I can think that they're not doing it is that they don't want anybody that could ultimately supplant Stidham and keep him from taking the field. Because if you have a Cam Newton out there, and even if you only want him for the first 4 weeks while you continue to polish Stidham, well, what if he starts winning and playing really well? You can't take him out.
Yeah, no, it's true. So he mentioned it's Chuck from Chuck's Buckets, and there's no better time to give a small business a plug right now, especially when people are struggling to make ends meet. So, if you are a hat aficionado like yours truly, check out his wares because I like it. Chucksbuckets.com. They're explained as follows. Our mission is to have fans show support for their favorite athlete while rocking a lid. These hats resemble players' jerseys while having either their initials, nickname, or logo to describe them on the back. So you'll actually see a photo of yours truly on Felger and Maz wearing the 63 bucket with the Bruins colors. You know who 63 is. Yeah. So I love this guy's stuff. So check it out, chucksbuckets.com, and thanks for calling in. Let's go to Dave in Weymouth on the Bill Parcells conversation. Hey, Dave.
Yeah, one comment and one question. So I think absolutely Parcells should be in the Hall of Fame, and I think the one argument against it is that he was only here for 4 years, and some of these other guys like Seymour was here for 9 and things like that. Mm-hmm. My one question is, people always give Parcells credit for bringing in Ty Law and Curtis Martin and all these players, but didn't he leave because he wasn't allowed to pick the players? So can you just talk about that? It's a legit question. I don't understand.
Yeah, so he did bring in those players, and really, you know, it goes back to the 96 draft, and the first round pick there, he wanted Cedric Jones, defensive end, edge guy from Oklahoma, and Bobby Greer and the Crafts wanted Terry Glenn. Parcells was wrong. Terry Glenn was much better than, you know, Cedric Jones ended up being. But the other draft picks, those were guys that he brought in, and that's ultimately why he ended up, I mean, that was his last season, you know, 96, 97. He wasn't around for the 97 draft, but that ultimately was why he ended up leaving, was because he got overruled there. But the other guys, he drafted those guys.
Yeah, and the other thing with him only being here 4 years, this argument, It's tough to kind of argue against. I get it. So I just want to read this email. Came from Anthony in Boston. Listening to you talk about Parcells on the radio, I think one of the things you need to consider is who is voting. They're most likely the younger age demographic, 18 to 25, who never saw Parcells actually coach. And we have to go based on statistics. And statistics show Parcells was mediocre. He was a 500 coach at 32 and 32. Yes, he brought the Patriots to that one Super Bowl and lost. But he also had two losing seasons. He really brought us from trash to mediocre. Mediocrity is not Hall of Fame worthy. Furthermore, the fact that he's in the Pro Football Hall of Fame has nothing to do with the Patriots Hall of Fame. What he did with the Giants, Jets, and Cowboys doesn't, nor should it be taken into consideration. Maybe the tangibles get him in, or intangibles rather. But based on record and statistics performance, I'm a hard pass. Best, Anthony in Boston.
So is he saying he's younger?
Or, yeah, he's definitely in that that age.
So what I would say there is that, again, if you just look at the stats, like stats are great, but stats don't give you context. So you have no context of just how bad the Patriots were.
Well, right. So that's
the problem. So in other words, it was much harder to get the Patriots from where they were to what he's saying is quote unquote mediocre. Although I believe there's two playoff appearances in there. I would argue that's better than mediocre.
94 as well. Yeah.
Yeah. They lost to Belichick and the Browns. But to go from where they were, the dregs, I mean, I'm trying to think of like a proper like sports analogy. I'm running through all the teams. It would be like, let me put it to you like this, Anthony. It would be like somebody comes in as the general manager of the Miami Marlins and takes them from being a laughing stock franchise that just is terrible and really doesn't even belong in the league. And suddenly they're competitive and making the MLB playoffs as a wild card in two of the four seasons. That's what it would be like. So I understand what he's saying, and yes, the voters are younger, but I would beseech any voter to go back and do a little research and understand the context. I mean, getting them from where they were to mediocre was actually much harder than getting them from where he left the franchise to where they are now.
And really what it boils down to. So again, you put the statistics and numbers in front of me. Again, it's kind of tough to argue, but it really becomes an argument between old guys, Generation X guys like myself and Chris, and young people, because you had to live through it. You had to have lived through it to realize that Bill Parcells deserves to be in the Patriots Hall
100%.
Of Fame for what he turned that franchise into and making them relevant. That's really what you had to be there in my day. You don't know what it was like during Rod Rust.
We can also just say quickly, you know, look, we can talk about the Belichick 11-5 again, covered the team, one of the greatest coaching jobs I've ever seen. What about the 5-11 without Brady in 2000?
Yeah.
No one talks about that.
Yeah. Yeah, you young.
When Brady wasn't the quarterback and they hadn't built what they built, you know, in terms of the culture, which a lot of that was built with Brady. You know, they had the culture to fall back upon as well as the great coaching in 2008. In 2000, you didn't have that, and you had Drew Bledsoe, and you didn't have Tom Brady at quarterback, and you went 5-11. What about that one?
Celtics, are they actually practicing? If not, when will they be? What's the latest with the NBA scuttlebutt? Will they be coming back soon? We'll get the latest with NBC Sports Boston's Chris Forsberg, who we haven't talked to in a minute. We'll do that right after the Sports Hub headlines here on Gasper and Murray.
The Doug Flutie Jr. Foundation for Autism is proud to be the presenting sponsor of the Boston Marathon's Adaptive Program for Runners, creating opportunities for runners with autism and other disabilities to participate in the legendary Boston Marathon.
Hi, my name is Eric Fishman, and I'm running as a member of the Adaptive Program for Runners in this year's Boston Marathon. Thanks to the Flutie Foundation, runners like me can achieve their dreams and finish the greatest race in the world.
Woo! The Flutie Foundation promotes inclusion for all to help everyone achieve their running dreams in Boston and beyond. Visit FlutieFoundation.org to get involved.
The Dave McGilvery Finish Strong Foundation's goals are to inspire and empower youth across New England and beyond to increase physical activity, expand literacy, and build community and self-esteem through running, reading, and performing acts of kindness. Join us in our mission to empower youth through fitness and education. With your support, we can provide the opportunities for youth to cross their own finish line one step at a time. Together, we can build a stronger, healthier future. Go to DaveMcGilveryFoundation.org for more information.
Hey there, Boston. This is Noah Barney from North Attleboro. This year, I will be running not just one marathon, but I'm attempting to complete all six world major marathons. And I'm proud to run the 2024 Boston Marathon to support Boston Scores, an amazing nonprofit that uses soccer and poetry to inspire and empower youth. As a former collegiate soccer player, I am honored to be part of the Boston Scores Marathon team and support free after-school and summer learning programs for 1,500 local students each year. Learn more and support my run today at Boston Scores.org/Noah.